Guardian Unlimited.
With Three, you now have the freedom to download this direct to your mobile. Visit 3.co.uk/podcast for more details.
Hyperinflation! I'm Paul McInnes and this is Music Weekly from Guardian Unlimited, the only podcast that used to do it in its fishnets but now does it in its nightdress. In this week's slice of musical cake, you've asked for them and here they are. London noisemongers, the Noisettes, are our special guests in the pod. We'll be talking them senseless in a short while at the same time as passing around a plate of hazelnut treats. And naturally, they'll also be playing us a special unplugged version of their new single. Also in this show, we hear from the Education Secretary, Alan Johnson, about rock, politics and some bloke called Tony. Plus, we discover how Robbie Williams has been communicating with old Blue Eyes and we'll review new music from Biffy, Candy and Wiley. With only 189 shopping days till Christmas, that's my own mental arithmetic, so maybe slightly wrong. This is Music Weekly from Guardian Unlimited. Whoa! We're going to try and get to our first piece of music in record time this week, so let me hurriedly introduce my partners in pod, one of whom isn't actually on her holidays, as previously advertised and promised. I know 50% of listeners will be heartily disappointed. Guardian Unlimited music writer Rosie Swash and Music Weekly producer Ben Green, hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Let's have some music. That is Sister Rosetta by the Noisettes. The London three-piece came together in 2003. They've toured with Block Party, Baby Shambles, Muse and more and made Rolling Stone magazine's list of 10 bands to watch. Most of all, they're the band you, the listeners, wanted in the pod. So we've diverted them from their own headline tour of the UK to bring them in onto our special soundproofed cupboard. Shingai, Shani Wah and Dan Smith.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome to the pod. We have a lot of bands in the studio which have the word punk affixed to them in some way or other. We have a lot of funk punks. We have a lot of post-punks. But I reckon you lot are kind of more punk-punk. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Yeah, because you've got a sound which is genuinely kind of full-on hardcore and not in any way kind of trying to divert around and do anything different. And is that something that, you know, came naturally?
Yes, au naturel, definitely au naturel. Came that way. It's... We've been playing for a long time, and we started out being very jazzy and very acid jazz. When we all started playing, we started playing gigs in the kind of mid to late 90s, and you couldn't play indie music, really, unless you decided to go to your local venue and pay them lots of money so you could play, which was a bit of a rip-off.
The old pay-to-play rip-off.
The old pay-to-play thing. So you could play for free at these experimental drum and bass electronic nights and whatever. We did a lot of that, and then we got tired of playing jazzy stuff, so we wanted to play, because we really love punk music, and it came about.
So that was inspired by kind of fatigue with the scene as was?
I never thought I was part of any scene. I've always played in different bands, and I think Jamie has, and so has Dan, so sort of pledged no allegiance to any one scene, really, which is why I think any one scene is reluctant to ever sort of completely embrace us or trust us, because I guess they don't really know what we're going to do next, but we don't tell them what to do, and just sort of, I think we should embrace the differences and bands sort of doing their own thing rather than just copying each other all the time.
No, very true, very true. And perhaps one of the ways in which you can get this message across is by playing an absolutely incredible number of gigs. I don't think I've ever seen on that MySpace bit on the page where you're just above your friends where you have all your next upcoming gigs. Yours goes on for about 2 years. But you practically do a gig a night at the minute.
This is the biggest live bender that we've been on. We're playing all the time.
This tour or the England one?
All the tours all strung together, because they have been running into each other.
I suppose, yes, we have a patchwork quilt, No tour finishes.
And is that a positive choice you've made, or is that what your management want you to do, like...
No, we don't really have a choice. I mean, it's our only way to reach people, because we don't have the kind of money behind us or sort of intention to sort of bribe the press to put us on the front covers or on anything unless it's sort of merited thus for our own sort of hard work. I think some people get there quicker, but they might not last that long while they're up there. And I don't really see myself as there yet. I think you can always go higher and higher and higher, being on the front page or even getting a shitty little review in the fanzine. That's all. It's all good. It all adds up. You should give the same amount of energy when you're playing your local than when you're doing Wembley. I think we've probably played the most scope of gigs out of any bands that I know in terms of, like, playing in 1 year, probably about 3 funerals last year, a couple of weddings, Wembley Arena twice, and also to 20 people on a roof with a spit roast pig with an apple stuffed in its mouth in a gallery in East London. Wherever, you know, you can't really...
So how do these funerals come about?
Yeah. People died.
I thought it was just one of those party funerals.
We arranged the funeral.
We killed someone just to
bring it along. We had the drinks on top of the coffin. It's fine. No, I'm serious. Was it like a relative of a fan or something, or was it an actual fan?
A friend of a couple of relatives. The reason why those particular funerals people asked us to play is because, like, although I'm from quite sort of big sort of choir, kind of like churchy and quite sort of black music like background, a lot of the music like that I was brought up in my family comes from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And like I think certain people in other cultures, a funeral's not just like handing around a couple of digestives after the body's gone down and like some watery cups of Thai food. So I think in certain cultures, a funeral is just celebrated with the same gusto as a wedding, because you want someone to go on to that next place. So they asked us to just like choose obviously one song that the person who had died really liked. Also to do something traditional, like a hymn, a different cover version of a hymn.
Doing Bohemian Rhapsody was really hard, though.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Rosie?
Well, you were moving off funerals, but still on gigs. I know it's probably a little bit boring for you, but to talk about, but there was, you've played with Baby Shambles, was it the Frog Tour?
Yeah.
Two tours with them. And there was a bit about Pete Doherty upstaging you and you're getting quite angry with him coming on stage. And is that true, or is that sort of the perpetuation of
hype? Have you ever heard of the game Chinese Whispers? Basically, it's just like Chinese Whispers. Like you have 10 people in a circle and one of them starts with the word like bread, and then it can be like, you know, John Major's budgerigard's dead at the end of the thing. So it's the same way in rock and roll.
It still rhymes by the end of that.
And the more juicy it gets, then of course, then the more people are going to blog about it, and let them blog away. I mean, you know.
I'll tell you what, it's weird. I just had a private little rant on our website, on our MySpace page even, just because I was upset. It was the end of the night. We just got back from A&E in Birmingham and like Shingy dislocated a shoulder, and I did that, and like, I have no knowledge of what the internet is like these days. And what happened is the next day some people trawling
next day he was in the
blogs,
mirror and he was in the
it
sun
went, it went to some like entertainment website, then to NME.com and then to the Sun, and it was like, oh, for
and the Daily Star as well, like, was it?
The Daily Star. It's so kind of hungry for Pete-related news. I didn't want to. It was like, there's no...
They were really...
But at least you know the way it works now.
No, I know.
No newspaper's ever got beyond NME.com, so you're safe as long as you can reach NME.com. So, listen, Shingy, I just picked...
Yeah, we don't need a press person.
So you've got the dislocated shoulder. You've walked in on a crutch today. This is all about you putting into your energies in on stage, but, you know... Maybe you need some kind of health and safety expert on stage with you.
I don't know if we can afford to take them to like Hamburg and Transylvania and all these funny little places that we want to play, because we don't just want to. There's other kids out there, you know. It's not just about London and Manchester and New York. I like to play in places that are off the beaten tracks, where people are so actually more hungry for what you're doing, because they're not so spoilt and jaded as like.
Which can occasionally happen in London, I've noticed. People get a little jaded.
Small price to pay, a bit of metal in your foot, it can get taken out. They have x-rays nowadays,
I'm told.
How deep
was this wound? It's gone into your left foot.
An inch and a bit.
An inch
Five
and a bit.
Five stitches.
Oh, that's a decent entry, as I always say.
So good.
So, I'm still Paul McInnes, and you're still listening to Music Weekly from Guardian Unlimited. Still to come, we've got Biffy Clyro, Candy Payne and Wiley fighting to the bitter end in the hope of winning our Dongle of the Week award. And apparently those who fail to win will be fed to dogs. Plus, Education Secretary Alan Johnson reveals his favourite band. But should politics and music ever mix? That's all coming up, as is a topless Michael Bublé. But first... It's time for a roundup of the music news that's been hitting the headlines this week. MPs have backed calls to extend copyright on music. If the laws don't get changed, then Cliff Richard will stop making money on his hits as early as next year, which means that someone only has to burn down his vineyards and will have paid him back for mistletoe and wine. After posting a blog in which she confessed to thinking she was fat, ugly and, I quote, shitter than Winehouse, Lily Allen has blamed it on Cheryl Tweedy for calling her a chick with a dick. This is, of course, an outrageous slur. Most of the transsexuals I know are bloody gorgeous. Robbie Williams has inspired fresh concern of his well-being after claiming he communes with the spirit of Frank Sinatra. I like to play Swing When You're Winning when I'm at home and Frank approves, says Robbie. He was there when I made it. Ghost sources have confirmed that Frank was there when he made it. However, he was hammered and only there for the ghost cocaine. And that was your music news this week. Oh, I'm sorry. I've just heard from Michael Bublé's PR and apparently he won't be coming in dancing around topless and crooning about Chicago like he promised us. Which means that the fact he's number 3 in the album chart will only get a passing mention here. Instead, I'd like to doff my merkin to McFly, who've knocked Beyoncé and Shakira off the top of the UK Dongles chart with their double A-side of something or other stroke something or other. The Arctics are still number 1 in the albums, by the way, and Alan Johnston likes them too. Anyway, on to this week's Dongles, which come from all over these sceptred isles of ours. We start in Glasgow, and this is Biffy Clyro and the cheerily titled Living is a Problem Because Everything Dies. Nothing to eat but feathers in the backseat. Well, I met God and he had nothing to say to me. That is the latest single from the bearded Glaswegians with a taste for interesting song names, as you've just experienced. They're on album number 4, and they still massively split the critics and the fans. How do we feel about it, Rosie Swash?
We feel that I like the title.
Yes,
but
you like the title.
I think what I don't like about Biffy Clyro is their stuff sounds like contemporary American chart punk, and not that I don't like Americans, but that kind of music...
You were just talking about chart punk.
Yeah, no, I just want to make that clear. But I think there's something about that kind, that style of music that's quite artificial and spiritless. It's like it's got what punk had musically, but not in terms of spirit. And this is just a bit crude.
Benjamino.
Well, they're bearded and they're sweaty in that video. It's a hideous video. It's an even worse song. But... as I do have a soft spot for all things Glaswegian and Fairly Melancholy, and that's a cracking title.
You can't like
I can't shake it.
You can't,
I can't
shake,
shake
it. You have
it's
got it in
quite,
your head.
It's got a catchy chorus. Though, when I was listening to it with two colleagues earlier on, they did point out that Biffy Clyro are officially the worst band in the world.
Noisette. You like Biffy? Because they've been around for a while.
Biffy.
Aye. Exactly.
A wee bit of Biff.
I bet.
What do you think, Danny? Your daddy's from Glaswegian. Do you think he'd like him?
My dad wouldn't like him.
Your dad wouldn't?
No.
But you, love?
I don't know.
No. No, it's
I
difficult.
Think they're all right. I mean, I think I'm going to like him more than any of the others you're going to play. But just says, in fact, comparatively, even though I haven't heard the others yet, I love him.
Jingy, you got an opinion in Scottish?
I'm not going to say in Scottish, but I kind of agree with the lady over there. It seems like they spent... I don't know how long it took them to make that album, but whether it was a year or two, it seems like they spent a lot of time working on the title, came up with such a great title, and then forgot about the other stuff that I think a song needs, which is a little bit of something, maybe a bit more... I wouldn't have realised they were Glaswegian from hearing that song.
Yeah.
The vocals are very sort of emo, no one understands me, I hate my mum, I hate my dad kind of shit, where's my skateboard and my, you know, Game Boy or whatever. I think I'd probably like them if they weren't singing in that accent.
Yeah. That's fair. I mean, I've heard a little bit of them at this new album, and it strikes me that this is actually a lot more emo and a lot more American than a lot of the other stuff on the album, and you wonder whether it's been pushed in that direction because they wanted to make it a single.
Ooh.
Anyway, moving on from Craggy Scotland, we head to Cracky East London, and it's all right, I can say that because I live there. This is 50-50 by Wiley.
Big Dada, Esquibue, Rodi, Boy Brano, Nothing Long, E3 all day. So, shh, huh? Nah, it's not 2% after recruitment, blood. It's 50-50. I got too many memories of pain, and now you can't hit me. Grips me, let go now before I show your whole street about LON history. I ain't mad, I'm a 2-6 dad, 2-38 bang, 2x6 bang, and she loves me. Just like everybody's girl loves Risky Show.
All right, that is the East London grime MC, Wiley. He announced his retirement in January, but he's already back. He's got his own style of grime, which he calls Esky. He's also long affiliated with Dizzy Rascal. And just before Dizzy's highly anticipated LP comes out, he slips his own single in. I'm going to give the Noisettes an opportunity here to immediately prove that their predictions about only liking Biffy Clyro are wrong. What do you think of this?
I'm not wrong.
Still right.
I like that song he did. Who told you that I made garage? A car lives in a garage. And something else lives in a garage, but I don't make garage. Who told you that I make garage? That's a good song, but this one I don't like it.
I think Wiley, he's still quite quick of the tongue since that last single I heard, but he kind of reminds me like he's more of a producer. Like in terms of his spitting, he reminds me of a lot more like the MC Hammer of like lyricists, like how MC Hammer was more like a master of ceremonies rather than like, do you know what I mean, like quick tongued. So I think he's more smooth and kind of more thinking about the ladies when he's spitting rather than taking it to as far as it can go.
Rosie?
Well, I'm just getting a bit tired of hearing angry young men from Bow boasting into microphones meaningless things, and that's what this is a bit like. And it, you know, he is. I've always thought that he had a bit more talent and was a bit more creatively ambitious, and this doesn't prove either of those things, so... Come on, Wiley, you can do it.
Come on,
yeah, do us a remix, love.
Yeah.
Swing one by.
But you wonder whether the boat has now sailed and that's it.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that definitely. But, I mean, Dizzy Rascal is someone who recognised reasonably quickly that he needed to get out of the boundaries of grime and move on. And I would have thought Wiley would have thought the same. But he's obviously decided to, you know, keep it real to the ends.
Time. Talking of time.
I bet he's not really half as scary in real life as he sounds. As he sounds on record.
Oh, I don't know, I wouldn't say any of that to his face.
I'm not going to. Even though he may be quick-tongued.
I thought that was rubbish. Right, number three, our final musical station. It's Liverpool Lime Street, where we disembark and ask the friendly mustachioed waitress for directions to Candy Payne's house. Because this is I Wish I Could Have Loved You More.
And ever since that
Ben, this time you are first.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I noticed at least three heads nodding to that in a semi-positive way. I like the fact that it's got that kind of a very historic feel to it, but also feels very contemporary at the same time. It's got the Mark Ronson-esque horns in it, and she's a Scouser.
Who should we go to next? I don't know. Rosie, have you been second yet? Go second.
I think that's really boring.
Yeah, you don't like Candy Payne, do you?
I really
thought
boring.
I kind of got all excited about Candy Payne one morning in the office, went over to you, go, "Ooh, have you heard all this?" And you went, "Yeah."
Yeah, I think it's just somewhere between St. Etienne and Amy Winehouse, but neither of the good parts of either of those. It just doesn't do it for me. I think it's sort of fashionable pop music that's okay to like, and because it won't offend anyone.
Do you think she'd sound different if she'd have recorded? If she'd have done that 5 years ago, do you think she wouldn't
maybe,
sound like Winehouse?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. But I think, you know, that's the thing, is that those female solo artists that are out there now have actually got a lot to say that is interesting, and she's not really saying anything. It's all about the production of the music.
But Is that not all right? I mean, do you have to say something in every song?
Well, yeah, but it's a bit boring to listen to someone say nothing.
Yeah, but it's like buying a product and liking the box, but not liking what's inside. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. I don't know. I think it's possible to like music purely for the sound it creates and not necessarily the content of its lyrics.
Yeah, but if I find the sound that it makes boring...
That's true.
I probably wouldn't like Amy Winehouse's stuff if what she was singing about and her lyrics weren't interesting.
Mm-hmm. Noisettes.
Mark Ronson, that flavour of the month kind of old school sound. Just as soon as I hear someone jumping on a bandwagon, I feel like I want to kill everybody because it just fucking annoys the shit out of me. But I like the sound of it. It's like, I love old music. I love old soul music and that. That's great. But, you know, Mark Ronson.
Sorry.
Yeah,
Oh, can you produce our next record, by the way?
Shingay, opinion?
I don't really think it's that fair to just take, like, a formula that's worked brilliantly in the past for, like, a lot of jazz and soul sort of Motown artists who, at the time, were being really quite forward-thinking, but it's, like, everyone's kind of bored, like, not bored, but doesn't know where to go next. So, like, OK, let's go for that, like, 60s sound. But, you know, like Rosie said, put some decent lyrics on top of it and a bit of interesting kind of melodies. I think you can make quite a lot of the female range, like vocals, especially with that kind of music, and I think someone like Candy Payne would sort of take it and run with it and do something interesting with it. But lyrically, it's just like another victim song. I want to hear women singing about other stuff rather than why didn't he do that,
the
why didn't he do that
school of singing. Very interesting indeed. To my money, I think that's I think it's much more like Portishead and Saint Etienne than any Mark Ronson thing, and I just really think it's a really rich and deep sound that she gets in almost every one of her tracks that really kind of, it's not something you necessarily dance to or not something you'd even walk around to, but I just think kind of sitting there and just kind of taking it all in, I quite enjoy it. Just to select our favourite dongle is singles and downloads. You see, we're kind of moving with the future here, and so we've came up with a new acronym, that's why. Rosie, your favourite this week?
I don't like any of them.
You don't like any of them? Very good. Noisettes, combined, I'm afraid. Only one choice between two.
If I was stuck in the lift with any of those songs, at least the Wiley one would crap me up, and I could live with that.
Ben?
Mon the Biffy, Under Sufferance.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Candy Payne, so that's a three-way tie, but with only one vote each. Alrighty, as I always tell you at this juncture, there's more album and live reviews in the film and music section, that's with your Guardian every Friday, and some more sarcastic stuff, which goes in the Guide on Saturdays. They're both free, by the way, so long as you buy the newspaper. Even better and even freer, so long as you buy a computer, Rosie's Singles Club reviews are up on the website every Tuesday, apart from next Tuesday when she is on holiday. Goodness knows who will get to do it in her stead. We'll probably just leave it and nobody will notice. Anyway, head to guardian.co.uk/music for more.
Hello, sunshine. Coming to my life. Hello, sunshine.
Well, that track was Hello Sunshine by the Super Furry Animals. It is officially the favourite song of Alan Johnson, Secretary of State for Education, leading candidate for the recently vacated role of Deputy Prime Minister and former rhythm guitarist of the Inbetweens. Ask your dad, although even he won't probably know them. Now, for some reason, maybe there's more podders in the Labour Party than we thought, Alan took time out from his busy schedule to talk to Rosie and I, and we began by asking his thoughts on the present state of British music.
Music that's being produced at the moment, I think, is great. It's much better, I think, all round, than the kind of music in the 70s or the 80s, all of which had their highlights, but for consistency and for good bands coming through and playing really, really good music.
You know,
there's such choice out there at the moment. Isn't it a process of evolution? I mean, maybe we'll get to the end of this evolutionary path, but kind of rock and roll started with kind of Bill Haley in 54, 55.
Yeah.
And there was no history to it in the early 60s when the Beatles came along. Suddenly the Beatles swept away the kind of three called Marty Wilde, Tommy Steele stuff. And that's why I say it was so important. And then suddenly you're into Sgt. Pepper's. And you're into Abbey Road, and suddenly you had the music correspondent of the Times, who had previously only reviewed classical LPs, suddenly reviewing the Beatles. And for kids like me, suddenly our music was important and had stature. And then from there, you see, you know, people fed off the Beatles. The Beatles' influence was American R&B, and then they kind of added something to it and kind of brought it back to America. And the first group to sing in English accents is a big thing now, yeah, with the Arctic Monkeys, but they were doing it years ago. And then along came Bowie, and then Elvis Costello and Joe Jackson are things that came out of punk. And now kids have such a rich background to draw upon. You know, what did the Beatles have? A few imported bits of vinyl from America.
Rosie.
Talking about the climate of celebrities today, do you think that there's too much emphasis on pop stars as role models?
No, I don't think there's too much. I think whether we like it or not, people in the public eye who kids, it's not overstating it to say in some cases, worship. You know, it's the way of rock music. They form such close allegiances, whatever it is, you know, setting up a counselling service when Take That split up or whatever, you know, we're setting one up for when Tony goes now on the same basis. So they develop such emotional links with rock stars, and that makes, whether they like it or not, and probably they don't like it, that they are seen as role models. So what they say counts. So if they say it's great to take drugs, or if they say, you know, it's really good to be on the right and hate people because of their race or colour, it's kind of influence. And I think there's tremendous examples now of youngsters in bands really being positive about youngsters and helping them and encouraging them. And that's an important part of what we want to do, because we want to enthuse children to pursue music by showing the kind of role models that they can follow. You know, you look at black kids in inner London on the Stockwell Park estate, actually showing, as part of our efforts to kind of social inclusion, to say, look, you know, come in, we've got some things to do in school that involve things you might not like, but actually quite important to study, but there's things here that you can really relate to, and here's the kind of role model that you can build to. I think that's important.
Just to switch topics entirely, what was the last album you bought?
I think it was the Kooks. I want to buy the Griff Rhys's, but I'm going to, in the end, I'm not going to have to get it off Amazon.com. I like actually going to record shops and looking through, but I kind of don't get the time. No. So it's a whole tranche of them.
There's not so many of them left anymore.
That's
anyway.
True. That is very true.
As a music fan, what problems do you see with the going forward for kind of British music?
Well, I think it's back to the industry.
Yeah.
You know, if I think, lots of examples, but you look at Blur, you know, they recorded a number of albums and they weren't exactly showstoppers. And in the end, then came Parklife. Yeah. You know, I wonder now whether they'd have kept a recording contract for that long. One of my favourite artists is a guy called Ron Sexsmith, a Canadian singer, who I thought would be huge. I saw him at the Jazz Cafe a few years ago. I thought, it's the last time you'll see Ron Sexsmith at a place like this. You know, he couldn't get a recording contract recently. He had to pay for his own album. So, you know, it seemed to me in the 60s and 70s, the good thing about it was rock stars could fail with an album and experiment and try things on and then kind of come, whereas now it's very, very remorseless that it has to be a hit. And that's, I think, a shame.
That's Alan Johnson, the current Education Secretary and possible next Deputy Leader of the Labour Party. To hear that interview in full and to find out more about Tony Blair's guitar skills, which are sound to be quite minimal, you can download it as this week's Music Extra by heading to guardian.co.uk/music/podcast. Politics and music, is this something that goes together for you lot, Noisettes?
We were in our van with our tour manager and he said, here's the answer to that question. Should politicians be involved in rock and roll? The answer is, should rock and roll musicians be involved in politics? It's a question which is posing as an answer. And then think Sting and Bono and I'd say no. Yeah. So I'm out of it now.
It was quite funny. Like I was watching Newsnight, as I do every night, and if I'm out I make sure I tape it. And they had Bono on there and he was talking about his Live 8 thing and how it failed. And he was putting all the blame on all the governments, and then they had to kind of say, well, do you not feel that your reputation, your kind of ability to get people to do things, to get music to make people act better, as might be slightly tarnished by this? And he said, yes, I think the situation might have been tarnished. And he just couldn't directly refer to himself in that, which I think kind of made you think, well, maybe, you know, there is a little bit of ego involved in all of this sort of stuff.
I think, like, if people like Blair and Bush, okay, Bush has had 5 years. If they've had like 15 years between them to let the avalanche go this far down. I think they should write a bloody song and explain. They should write a song and just try and explain what they're doing.
Here's my manifest, and in my manifest you will see that I'm being fair and not cruelty.
We do everything big in Texas.
And I don't make garage.
Who told you that I make garage?
Who told you that I invade Iraq?
With Mark Ronson doing production.
It's the sound of the summer. Now, over the last 7 days on the blog, it seems you were equally interested in our discussion about pink shirts as you were about the Cribs. Still, we enjoyed their company in the pod last week, and currently nestling in Rosie's right hand is a signed copy of their new single, Man's Need. We have that to give away, as well as some of the other dreck from our desks. Actually, not other dreck. That single's really good, but we will give you dreck. And be assured of that. We've now got another winner to announce, that means, doesn't it, Rosie?
Yes.
And do you have the necessary accoutrements to make that announcement?
Yes, I do.
Hey!
The answer is Careless Whisper by George Michael. I want the Crib signed stuff as I'm in love with Ryan, as much as a heterosexual man can be in love with another heterosexual man. Cheers, Nick Smith from a crappy town in Sussex. It's relatively exotic.
All right, congratulations, Mr. Exotic Village in Sussex. Your prizes are on their way very slowly. But if you want to win something signed by the Noisettes, they don't know it yet, but they're going to be signing something, as well as the complimentary other CDs hand-picked by the Music Weekly team, you've got to enter this week's competition, which, as usual, is related to something we have already mentioned in this week's show. Are you ready? Here we go. You know what? That's probably my favourite mystery tune ever. Got to be in it to win it, though, folks. So if you know the name of the tune and why we picked it, remember it's related to something we talked about. Email your answer to music.editor@guardianunlimited.co.uk. Now, Shingi, I wasn't going to ask this because I wanted to seem more mature and kind of, you know, past all that. But you're a black woman and you sing at the front of a rock band.
I'm black!
What do you mean I'm black? I'm whiter than Susie, Mama. Oh, my God.
Is this something which has been a boon or a bugger?
I just think any singers and artists that are put 100 or 200% into what they do should sort of climb to a certain notoriety for what the merit deserves. I do think a lot of people do get further because certain covers of certain magazines believe that it might be more loyal to their assumed readership if they put the same old people on the front of those. And I don't have a problem not being everyone's idea of the assumed general readership, but I'm still going to sort of carry on doing what they do. Some people's success is being on the front cover of something. Some people's success is having loads of money. For me, success is sort of changing people's nights and bringing entertainment to them and doing music and making an impact and making a change and not sort of diluting oneself just to get to what is supposed to be successful quicker. But everyone's got to wake up to the fucking realisation that we are living in a most, like, crazy tapestry of a world, and, like, it's only so long before you can repress other people seeing what the rest of the world looks like and seeing what other people's interesting imageries that they have to show, because they're just going to go to the internet or make up their own fanzines as there are more and more independent publications coming about. I mean, there's, like, 20% more magazines and independent kind of rags as they were, you know, like sort of turn of the 21st century. So what will happen is
do that to the power
the ones the that think they're popular well. Will just kind of become popular within sort of, I don't know, kind of really weird little corner.
Yeah, it becomes one.
Yeah, you got to keep up, you know. And I think we do the best to keep ourselves fresh as artists and musicians. So we expect the people who work in there as the other industries to do the same.
A great note upon which to finish, I believe. All right, danke schön. Thank you to Shinge, James and Dan. James was in the pod earlier, but he had to leave for some unknown reason. I don't know, maybe he was communing with the other side.
He had a barber's appointment.
He had a barber's appointment, as do I quite soon, and Ben too. The new album, it's called What's the Time, Mr. Wolf, and it's out right now.
Thank you.
It is in the shops. One should go right out now and purchase it. And check out the excellent www.thenoisettes.com, which has loads of cool zooming effects on it, I've noticed.
Oh, yeah.
Zoom, zoom. But when you can see them live, and you can also do that on that big MySpace list of which I was talking. Now then, if you have got anything to say about this week's show, head to the blog or email music.editor@guardianunlimited.co.uk. And if you've missed the show, our archive is at guardian.co.uk/music/podcast. Next week, we have the mighty, mighty Queens of the Stone Age on the show. Yes, we do. Prepare thyselves for an American rock special, sort of. Rosie Swash. Enjoy your holes. This time, I mean
it. Yeah, a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit embarrassing. Music Weekly has been produced by Ben Green. I've been, and indeed still am, Paul McInnes. And playing us out with an exclusive unplugged version of their upcoming single, The Count of Monte Cristo, this is The Noisettes. Hasta la próxima semana.
Want to make you feel so special. See, it's time to break the ice. Bless you and your wicked ways. The guys, there's that. These are strange days. But the tax must change for the Duchess to reveal her face. I'd give you all my pennies for your gallantry at tomorrow's gate. When I see
you see
no more honey from this bee.
I see
you see,
you see
stung, you've got a hold on me.
I see
you see,
you see
no more honey from this bee. I see you see,
you see
stung, you've got a know.
I see,
you see,
you
there
see,
ain't no more honey from this bee. I see,
you see,
you see, stung, you've got a hold on me. Can you see,
you see,
you see, no more honey from this bee. I see,
you see,
stung, you've got a know. To be immortal is commonplace, except for man. All creatures are, they would be in a cage, especially superstars. So bind my hands and tie me to that old oak tree. Goes a mechanical
crusade. With Three,
crusade,
you now have the freedom to download this direct to your mobile. Visit 3.co.uk/podcast for more details.
Guardian Unlimited.